Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have the People's Beard, Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Thank you, Dano. Hello, Dano, and hello, listeners. Getting very close now. We are recording this episode after some official practice matches, which is very exciting. So we've got a bit more data, and we're going to talk about the clusterfuck that is the forward line. yeah. Buckle in, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be disastrous, but fun.
So just for clarification, there's only three primos slash keepers that Paddo has put down, and one of them I had in my team all preseason, then removed.
And another one is injured and unlikely to play this weekend in Dusty. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. So we'll start with the one that's coming off of an injury, which is Jack McRae. Yeah, I just don't know what his role's going to be. People have been talking about seeing him at practice in their match sims and whatnot, and he's playing that hybrid half forward and midfielder role again, which, to be honest, isn't tantalizing for me. Yeah, and with the rise of Riley Sanders, I actually think that might be his permanent role now, and Sanders is going to take on that Bailey Smith kind of role, Paddo. So I'm not super keen on McRae, but watch him pump out when he'll play like round one or whatever and pump out 110 or something, and then I'll have egg on my face. But your thoughts on Jack McRae?
What's just frustrating is that he didn't play on the weekend, so we don't have any data to really go off, except for the unofficial practice matches. The issue is that he is coming off a bit of hamstring awareness in preseason, and that's a big red flag. So I feel like with McRae, we can probably wait and see. I get the sense that Sanders probably gets less CBAs than he did in the practice game when McRae's back, and Sanders will play that pure half-forward role. That's what I feel like will happen. Obviously, Libba and Bontempelli are going to just slot it up, and then Treloar will be that sort of support midfielder in there, as well as English. He pretty much is a midfielder in that team anyway. And then everyone else will sort of play support roles. So I'd be avoiding McRae at the start. But again, as you would say, I would not be shocked if he does do 110 in round one, but we've just got to relax and see it play out, I think.
Yep, agreed. Now, the second name on this list is Mr. Flanders. Stupid sexy Flanders. So, stupid sexy Flanders all preseason, I had him. I'm like, yep, last year's midfield form, brilliant. Bloody Dimmer comes out. Oh, we're going to put the football in his hands as much as we can. Then the Giants stroll along and absolutely capitulate him to the point where I'm like, this is a disgusting selection. Now, I know it's only one game, Paddo, and one preseason game at that, but I don't know whether the Giants were just that good or whether the Suns just didn't adapt to Dimmer's game plan quick enough, or a combo of both. But either way, it turned me off Flanders. And honestly, which we can talk about a bit later, I'm looking at running a fully budget forward line because I just don't have faith in anyone.
So a couple of things to consider here, and this is why I was very cold on Sam Flanders to begin with, and then you'll remember that, Dano, and anyone else that listened to that episode. Yep. But I'm not huge on Flanders for the reason being, like, he's not one of the main mids. So obviously, Tuke Miller, Noah Anderson, Matt Rowe, they're the three main guys as backed up by the CBAs, as well as Callan Ward, who don't know how he's still running for a team that's not Geelong, but he doesn't play for the Gold Coast Suns, so ignore that.
He plays for the Giants.
But it looks like the midfield rotation will play out with Anderson, Miller, Rao being the main guys, and then Flanders and Bailey Humphrey got some CBAs there as well. So I feel like they've kind of showed their hand there. The other thing to consider is that Damien Hardwick coach teams have always not been super coach relevant or fantasy relevant because they preach, you know, playing your role, numbers don't really mean anything, all that sort of stuff. And that is kind of evident in the scoring from this Giants team. sorry, the Giants game. You also have to add in the fact that the Giants are a very strong midfield. Kieran Briggs gave their midfielders first choice at most CBAs, Dano. He dominated that game, which against Jared, which is a very, very big deal. And we'll talk about that when we talk about rucks. But coming up against a midfield that contains Ward, Green, Canelio, Kelly, like, that's hard. And I just feel like this might be about Flanders' scoring capabilities. Now, part of me hopes that Flanders comes out and scores 95 against the Tigers in O-round, so people do get sucked in. I'm off Flanders now, personally.
Yep. Agreed there. And a good segue into the next one, which is the third one that you have as the primo/keeper category, and that's Dustin Martin, who you said is injured, Paddo.
Yeah, copped a knock on his quad, I believe, against the Pies in that practice game. Also, didn't look great in that game either, but it's Dusty. He always cruises through those preseason games. Plus, we played against the reigning premiers, as much as it hurts to say that. So I wouldn't look too much into the score from that game, but I would look into, obviously, the injury. And I think any sort of injury cloud... They're sorry saying that he still could play O-round. Sorry,
it wasn't against the Pies. He didn't play against that, did he?
Yes, he did.
Against the Pies?
Yeah. Had 62 Supercoach.
Yeah, right. Okay. Didn't notice him had much. That's probably why.
Yeah, had 18 touches, cruised through the game. So with this new injury, Cloud, I would be avoiding, again, him as well. I think you'll probably be able to pick him up cheaper through the season and after Richmond's early buy, and I'm going to be avoiding most of those early buy people to try and get a leg up on the competition.
Try to get a leg up on me, you mean?
Yes.
So we'll move on to the question marks players. So these are players, there's a lot of them, by the way. These are players that we've identified that are kind of like, yeah, they're primos or even mid prices that we're just kind of not sure on. And there's reasons as to why we're not sure on. And they could go huge. They could just be duds. So we'll start with Shea Bolt. So he's looked great this preseason, by the way, Paddo. I love the look of Shea. He's not going to get those midfield minutes, though, and we're going to be relying heavily on him scoring bags of goals. The only thing is, he can actually score bags of goals. So, not for me personally, but do you think he could get that midfield role back at any stage, or do you reckon he's just going to be up forward? And what are your thoughts on him Supercoach-wise?
He'll certainly get CBAs. It won't be over 50% CBAs unless he's really on fire. There's just too many guys to go through there. What I think we need to consider here is that there were only 15 goals kicked in this preseason game between Collingwood and Richmond, which meant not as many CBAs as most games. Shea Bolton still had 7 CBAs. And to put it in perspective, Sam Naismith, Richmond's ruckman, had 12 CBAs. Darcy Cameron had 11. The most CBAs out of anyone was Tom Mitchell with 13. So he's getting about half of the available CBAs in that game, probably just under half, sorry. And he scored 88 by kicking 0 goals, 3. He kicks a lot of behind, so that will be very frustrating for if you do start Shea Bolton. I don't hate him as a bit of a POD. I think he's a sort of guy that will absolutely give you 150 one week. And, like, he when he's on, he's best on ground capability. That's how good Shea Bolton is. But he'll also give you those 60 or 70 scores. So if you're happy to ride with that and enjoy watching one of the best, most dynamic, exciting players in the whole league play, then go for it. Back yourself in, get Shea Bolton in. I want Shea Bolton in my team at some stage this season. I'm not going to start him just because I'm being conservative with those early buy rounds, but he's absolutely on my radar. And I'll be able to see his role for the first few weeks as well before that buy.
Love the bias there, Paddo. Love it. So the next one, who's a guy that I really wanted you to put on this run sheet, and I'm glad you did, is Isaac Heaney. Now, every season, Paddo, it's, oh, yeah, Heaney's going to run through the mids. Then ends up playing forward. Still is a good forward, but he was drafted as a midfielder, and he's 27 years of age, and now the article's come out again saying Heaney is going to be playing midfield, and predominantly midfield. Words out of his own mouth this time, not listening to fucking other reporters and shit. So I'm keen to see what he produces against Melbourne in opening round. And he's one that I'm watching very, very closely because this forward line is fucked. And at the moment, budget forward line for me, but if I can get one primo in there, I will try and squeeze them in. And Heaney's one that I'm eyeing off. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we have heard this multiple times before about how Heaney's going to play midfield, and he always tends to get squeezed back out because he's too good up in the forward line. We've got the advantage. We'll get to see him on the weekend. That game's on Thursday, actually. So we'll get to see him Thursday night and see what the role is first. So a little try before you buy. Yeah, I mean, he's the sort of person that if he comes out and gets 110, 120 odd against Melbourne, he'll be in a lot of teams. His ownership will go up and people get sucked in. But you're right. Like, Heaney is very talented. He's, I think, a Brownlow level talent as a regular midfielder. He's just never played full-time as a midfielder. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. Taylor Adams went down, which is a bit of a shame because he'll miss some time and we won't get to see what Heaney's role is with Adams, who is naturally an inside mid, even though he didn't play heaps in the midfield when he was on before he went down. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Now you put the captain of the GWS Giants on here, Pato, Toby Green. For me personally, it would be an avoid with Toby just because when he's on, but there's times where he just doesn't get much of the pill, but he does other things, and that's why it's a great captain. But, yeah, like if they gave freaking Supercoach points for Kung Fu fighting, I'd back him in every week. But they don't, so I'm avoiding.
So this is why I put him on there, Dano. So obviously he will play round zero. And who do they play in round zero? You'll probably know better than me.
Collingwood.
So obviously we won't get that score. Round one and round two, the Giants have North Melbourne and then West Coast Eagles.
Yep.
Is this a possible two-week play and you flick him on at the bye?
Everyone's going crazy about these extra trades. And like last year's trades and whatnot, we're like, oh, yeah, let's be aggressive. And then all of a sudden people have still run out of trades because a whole fuckload of injuries happened and whatnot. And like I'm not going to be doing that myself. If you're going to be, it could be this season to be aggressive and do that sort of shit. But for me, no. Learned from last year. I mean, it could be a play. But yeah, I feel like if you're in that position, Pato, and you saw 140 and 150 and then a bye, like you'd secretly want to hold on to him. Like deep down, how could you part with that? You couldn't.
Because it's an aggressive play to try and get 300 points on another player. Because he could get 300 in those two games.
Yeah, I know. Or he could be in cruise control and take it easy. And then an Aaron Cadman comes out and kicks a bag of 5 and 6.
We'll get to that.
So I like the thought process, but like I'd love to know Toby's stats against North Melbourne and West Coast previously, because I actually don't know.
So last year against the Kangaroos, he had 119 points in round 13. That was down in Tassie, which would have been cold, would have been blistering, would have been shit conditions. That game is at home at Giants Stadium. Then last year against the Eagles in round two, he had 97, which was over in Perth. And round two again is in Perth this year.
Yeah. Now in 2022, what did he score against North and West Coast?
89 and 84.
There we go. I'm not sold. I'm not 100% sold. And this is a giant diehard fan here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just put options out for people.
Yeah, yeah. And this is why we discuss them. Yeah, and we'll see. We'll end up seeing who's right. You might go and score 150, 160, and then you go, yeah, shut the fuck up, Dano. I know what I'm talking about. Who could go and score an 80?
Yeah, and it just like the potential to put you ahead in the rankings with score, it's an aggressive play, and I'm just trying to think of ways that we can use the 40 trades to our advantage, and it's plays like that that could come off, but you're pretty much, you're spending a trade, well, you're banking in a trade already, and it's potentially one of those trades that you could be holding for correction trades to get in rookies or an injury. Like there's always a round one injury to a primo every year. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Next one we got in the question marks category is Caleb Daniel. Now, that article that came out about Caleb Daniel and fighting for his place in the 22 shocked me. But then again, at the same time, after reading it, Paddo, it makes a fair bit of sense. And Bevo likes to change things up, and Bevo likes to play the new players for a long extended periods. So they brought in James Harms. They brought in Nick Caulfield. They brought in someone else that I can't remember off the top of my head. And then you got the young bloke Riley Sanders as well come in. So they're kind of squeezing Caleb Daniel out. And then you watched that practice game and they barely fucking played him, Paddo. So for me, I feel like Caleb Daniel might end up being a sub risk, either starting as a sub or getting subbed out or even starting as an emergency. And it sounds crazy say that about Caleb Daniel, but it's the vibe that I'm getting right now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Bramble was the other name that you were looking for from the Hawks. But very strange one, because Caleb Daniel has kind of been Bevo's like love child for so many years. And you're right. Like, I must say that run sheet was developed last week before we had games, so he probably wouldn't have made it. I think we're still going to talk about him. Coming on in the third quarter and playing 45% game time for a 21, he had 8 touches. That does not fill you with any sort of confidence to even look at him. So I think we need to just discard that. I feel like he might be the sub as a regular sort of sub. So big no from me, and keep an eye on it. Like, he could be a really cheap pickup midway through the year if he starts as a regular sub. All it'll take is an injury to Johannesson, which seems to happen every year, and he's straight back in.
Yeah, and not to mention that, he's still got, like, Bailey Dale and that to come back in too.
I don't know how he's going to squeeze in.
Jezza Cameron, you've got down, Paddo, as one of the question marks. Now, this is the kind of shit that I would actually back in. So, like, you're talking about Toby Green, right? And him being, what, the one to absolutely annihilate in his first two rounds. Now, I'm just trying to get Jeremy Cameron's stats up right now. So he's got, and it looks disgustingly bad, but he's got St Kilda in round one, then Adelaide round two, Hawthorn round three. Where are we? Yeah, so
then he has the Dogs in gather round four.
Yep. Yeah, there it is, yep. And then North in round five. So those first five games, this man can go absolutely bananas. The only one that he doesn't score well against is Adelaide for some reason in round two. But Hawthorn he likes. Western Bulldogs struggle, and North Melbourne, like, it's North Melbourne. And then St Kilda, yeah, for some reason struggling against him too, except last year I think did he get injured in round 23 last year, or?
I don't recall, but he did only score 38. But, I mean, his last two against Adelaide are 87-93. Like, you wouldn't hate that.
Yeah.
That's about what he's priced at anyway. And you'd be bringing him in for that sort of North Melbourne game. It is a bit of a tough draw, though, Dano.
After that, it is. The first five rounds, I don't think, is a tough draw. But then after that, rounds 6 to 9, he's got Brisbane, Carlton, Melbourne, Port Adelaide.
In saying that as well, Dano, his first 6 weeks last year were ridiculous. So he had 80 against Collingwood round one, 149 against Carlton round two, 77 against the Suns, 156 against the Hawks, 119 against the Eagles, and 160 against Sydney. So if he can start anything like that, he'd be a great starting pick and a bit of a stepping stone to who we think be a keeper. Maybe Dusty's back by then and getting midfield minutes, or, you know, Taylor Adams comes in and he's getting 80% CBAs and you got to bring him in, or Jack McRae looks looking healthy. Like, it's a stepping stone sort of pick, isn't it?
And it sounds weird to say stepping stone at 462K, but that sort of player I can actually understand the merits of.
I still feel like it's a bit of a risky play.
Oh, it is still a risky play, but, yeah, I feel like Jeremy Cameron could pull that off, but then at the same time, Jeremy Cameron could go down with an injury. But then that's pretty much every single player out there. So, yeah. I don't mind that one.
In the practice game against Essendon, he had 50 Supercoach points, 17 touches, 8 marks in 62% game time, and he kicked 0 goals 3 with 6 clangers. So, obviously, big room for improvement there, and we know he's better than that.
Yeah, he is, 100%. Next one, we got Mitch Owens. So, he's 445K, not bad. First 3 rounds, Geelong I've forgotten what that GMHBA Stadium. There we go, got there. Collingwood in round 2 at the G, and then Essendon at Marvel. So he's an interesting one. He's a forward, but he's just a different cat, to be honest. But his round 4 game is the one that really stands out for me because he really likes playing the Suns. Yeah, I'm not sure on Mitch Owens myself, but again, he's in that age range where this could be his breakout year. This is a year that he could just be like, "Yo, I'm Mitch Owens. This forward line's mine now," kind of deal. So,
yeah, very exciting talent. Scored 90 against North Melbourne in the practice game from 19 touches, kicked 2 goals, and had 8 contested possessions in 81% game time. There's also talk that he's essentially going to be like the quasi second ruck.
Oh.
Which I don't understand because of how good he is as a forward. He's a very exciting young talent. But if he's getting involved in CBAs as well, and it may only be 4 or 5 a game while Marshall is resting, but that is scope for more tackles, more hit outs, more possessions. Yeah, 100%. That's the sort of player he is. He's very dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah, shit. Okay. That's interesting. He's currently in 3% of teams too, Paddo.
Yeah, big POD there.
Yeah. One that I wanted you to chuck on the run sheet was, like, we should have actually probably put Luke Jackson down too. Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
You know, do we want to talk about Luke Jackson now?
Yeah, let's jump into that.
Yeah, okay. So Luke Jackson, because as we were doing the run sheet, Sean Darcy news came out that he's going to be out. He had essentially a knee clean out. Now people are thinking the worst. It's just a standard
timing.
Standard knee clean out, 2 to 4 weeks. It says 6 weeks on Google, people say, but I know blokes in their 60s that have had this done and are literally doing Super Rules footy in 2 to 3 weeks. Now, if an old man in their 50s and 60s can do that, then a freaking elite athlete can get done in 2 to 4 weeks. So people are talking about Luke Jackson now more than ever, but don't sell the farm for Luke Jackson just because of this news. Because for starters, if you weren't considering him at all, why consider him just for like 4 rounds max?
Because of how he scored last year in the ruck role.
Yeah, but at the same time, Paddo, why sell the farm for a dude just for 4 weeks?
I agree. I feel like people are overreacting to the Sean Darcy news. Like, if he was out for 12 weeks, I'd be like, yeah, fucking, you know, the farm, get Luke Jackson in. But Sean Darcy could be back by round 4. Then what are you doing with
round
Jackson?
2 and, or 3?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing I want to ask is, where was Jackson against the Power? Like, why didn't he play?
Yeah, valid point.
Like, is there an injury cloud there that, like, and I'm not up to date with news. I've been very busy lately and have had some other stuff going on. But, like, there's got to be a reason why he didn't play. They wouldn't just be resting him.
Yeah, no, agreed. I'm just trying to tell people not to sell the farm on Luke Jackson. And, look, he could come out and score a 130, 140 for the first couple of rounds. And you're like, fuck, okay. And then Sean Darcy comes back and then he's back to 80s.
Yeah.
Who are you going to sell him to? Because honestly, Luke Jackson is already the second highest priced forward. So,
and worth noting as well that he has Brisbane in round 1, who are typically a restrictive ruck unit. North Melbourne in round 2, like, that's a good matchup for a ruck. Adelaide round 3, like, that's a pretty tough matchup against Riley O'Brien. Carlton round 4 is a good matchup, but I reckon Darcy will be back by then. Like, is it worth it for the 3-week play? I don't think it is.
Yeah, that's my thoughts too. Move on to the guy that I told you to chuck on because I just don't know what the fuck this bloke's doing. Third highest averaging forward, that's Charlie Curnow, 545K. had a career best year last year, Supercoach wise, Pato, and like he's got his standard Richmond in round one. He's got North Melbourne then in round two, who he like should kick a bag on. And then Freo round three.
No, he doesn't play round two.
Oh, sorry. Round three. Round one, three, and four. He has the bye round two, correct. And then, yeah, Freo round four. So, oh, that's that freaking gather round at Adelaide Oval too, isn't it, round four?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to put him in there because I'd seen some people on X, formerly known as Twitter, start talking about him. And as I say that, his ownership's gone up to 8%. So before this podcast, it was, I think, about 2%. So he's gone up 6% or something.
I don't see it. I can't see how you can start a 545K forward who has a buy in round two. And especially against that one game he plays is against a team that he averages 62 against. I can't get behind that. What I could get behind, if you want to be aggressive, is Luke Jackson for 2 weeks and then flick him over to Curno for his game against North Melbourne, Fremantle, Adelaide, GWS, Geelong. I can get behind a play like that. But again, you're banking a trade that could potentially be needed for rookie corrections, which I think is more important than doing these aggressive primo to primo trades. I think you save the primo to primo stuff for the mid-year buys if your trade situation is looking good. But if you want to try and be really aggressive early and get the jump on the rest of the players playing Supercoach, Luke Jackson for 2 weeks and then Charlie Curnow for however long after that until he plays probably Collingwood and Melbourne and that sort of run. Wouldn't be the worst idea, Dana.
I'm just, again, not doing the aggressive trading myself. So we've got someone here who's okay with the aggressive trading, someone who's being very conservative this year. But that's okay.
We're giving both perspectives, and I think that just giving people something to think about. We're not telling you to do this. We're just giving some ideas forward.
One that I'm going to keep a really close eye on against the Giants is Pat Lipinski, Pato. He's 389K, pretty much for the 390K. Free look at him in opening round against the Giants. Round one, two, and three, he's got Sydney, St Kilda, Brisbane. The practice game, he looked fucking unreal. And is this the Lipinski that we thought we were going to get last year? I don't know. But I'd be keen to keep a very, very, very close eye on him. Pato, what are your thoughts on Lipinski?
So, Dana, this happens every preseason where we get these outside guys that just go off for huge scores in the games that don't mean a whole much, okay? If you look at the contested possession numbers, they are way down. Lipinski is an outside player. He's a half forward. He didn't have any CBAs, and he's got 126 in a free-flowing game. He had 8 marks, Dana. Do you think Lipinski has ever had 8 marks in an AFL game?
I actually don't know.
I don't know either, but I would put some money on the fact that he hasn't. Jaden Short 2 years ago had 170-odd in a preseason game as an outside player. Like, obviously, different players, different roles, but the point still stands. The contested players – look at LDU, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
He had 40-odd, and he's an inside guy. Like, he wasn't necessarily worried about getting his hands dirty in that game, but round one, you know he's going to come out and get his hands dirty. That's just the nature of preseason. Try not to get too sucked into these sort of picks. I mean, Will Hoskin-Elliott as well had 101 and 24 touches, 12 marks, and he's not worth mentioning because he's not an option. So I just think we need to call the Jets on these outside guys. You'll see the trend that a lot of the outside players are the ones getting the points. Taranto had 115 in this game. Obviously, he's a contested guy, but still, don't look too much into it.
Well, except for one of the rookies that we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, I think Lipinski's a good draft get as a forward, and I think he'll be a decent sort of last guy on the field or that sub-injury sort of guy that can come in and score okay. But his ceiling has proven, like his role hasn't changed from last year, is about 80-85.
Yeah. Moving on to the last one in the question marks category, and that's Connor McDonald of Hawthorn. Now, I just completely disregarded this bloke. I prefer his teammate myself. But Pato, you've put him on the run sheet. So what are we discussing about Connor McDonald?
So another one of those really exciting young Hawks midfielders, and it seems like they've got about 15 of them. So I don't know how they're going to manage that in the next few years, but that is their problem, not mine. Connor McDonald didn't have any CBAs, which was interesting. But in a sort of outside half forward sort of role, he did score 96. Again, outside role, don't look too much into it. I don't know if the inside opportunities are going to be there for him. And he's at that really shit price point. I feel like he's at about 280, Dano, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me quickly look for you while you keep talking.
Yeah, so I just feel like the half forward role isn't great. And if you're going to pick a half forward, especially from the Hawks, it would be Dylan Moore, not Connor McDonald, because Dylan Moore's at least shown that he can average about 90, 95 and be okay.
Yeah, so Connor McDonald is 381,400.
Yuck. Yeah, no.
There's someone around a similar price that I would 110% get, and we can move on to that.
Noting as well, Dylan Moore didn't play in that preseason game as well. So
yeah, I don't know how long he's out for.
Neither do I.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Now for the breakout contenders, Pato. So we've got six on here. The first one is, I feel like this could go either way, but he's looked magic with rotating midfield minutes in preseason, and that's Isaac Rankin of the Crows, or the Crom, as people like to call him now. I've honestly been tempted myself, and I don't know whether it's just preseason hype or whatnot. The midfield minutes, yeah, sweet, but it's the fact that he's a small forward is the concerning thing for me. And how often is he going to rotate through that midfield? So yeah, I'm a bit torn because he's not at he's like, what, 30-something K less than a Flanders? So he's 461,600. So for me, I'd like to see him play, but I don't think we can because I don't think he's got they're not in opening round, are they, the Crows?
No.
Yeah, so it'd be nice if they were, just to see that role. So you don't get the free hit with him to see how he's going to play. Just going to have the gonads.
So, Dano.
Yep.
He had 8 CBAs in their practice game.
Yep.
And granted, this was against the Eagles, but he had 59% game time.
Yep.
For 138 Supercoach.
I know.
Kicking 4 goals, getting 18 touches in just over half a game.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like this would be similar to the Bolton pick where, like, sure, he'll have his down games. Absolutely. But exciting player and up there with Bolton as one of those young, exciting guys that are great to watch. The role looks good. Like, if they can get 15 to 20% CBAs and do well in those CBAs, that's a win. And the run to his bye doesn't look too bad either. Starts off with the Suns and Geelong, then has Frio, Melbourne, Carlton, Essendon, North Melbourne, Port Adelaide, Brisbane. Then it gets a bit hard. Collingwood, then West Coast. So the role looks great. The player is great. Passes the eye test, absolutely. And, if you pick him in your team, you got to watch him, and he's fucking great to watch. So it's a win-win, right?
Yeah. I'll be keeping – if he goes big on his first two games, I'll be trying to move heaven and earth to try and get him in.
Yeah, a lot of people will.
It's a big if, though. Yeah. Very big
it's
if.
A risky play to start him, but – it could pay off.
Yeah. And with the fucked up forward line that we've got, don't blame me if you do. And I know King Supercoach is out there going, come on, Dano, what the fuck are you doing? Because he's not about the small forwards getting midfield minutes in preseason, because I think people have been burned in the past with that. And then they go out there and they just play small forward role, no real midfield minutes. So anyway, next one on the list, Pato, is Nick Larkey. Now, I'm going to let you talk about Larky because you're the one that put him on here, and you think, I'm assuming, he's just going to kick a bag of goals and be an absolute weapon.
Yeah, so last year he actually had a pretty good year, considering they got belted most games and being a full forward in that team. 388K is a really good price, Dano.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have a big jump in scoring this year.
Yep.
And his run is pretty decent to start off the year. Starts off with the Giants, which isn't great, but then he has Freo, Carlton, Brisbane isn't great, but then Geelong, Hawthorn, Adelaide, St Kilda isn't great, Suns, Bombers, Power, then his bye. So it's not horrible. There's always a key forward that sort of kicks off to start a year, and it could be Larky. Like, everything goes through Larky and Zerha in that forward line.
Yeah.
No disputing it. Larky, what did he average last year? 70, which isn't great. I think that goes up to 90-odd this year. So there's some value there.
Well, I like his teammate that's pretty much similarly priced, Pato. He's actually slightly cheaper, and that's Zach Fisher. The Fish is here. He has that role in defense, that absolute seagull fucking Jack Zeeble role that got vacated. It is his. He destroyed on the weekend. I think he actually led the game in clangers too, so his score could have been even higher. But when you're getting the pill that much, who gives a fuck? Do we need to discuss Zach Fisher much? Because I feel like he's a must-have.
Davies Uniacke had 7 clangers to Fisher 6, but yeah, we don't need to talk about this. Get Zach Fisher in your team.
Yeah. I'm going to Zach Fisher F1 for me at the moment. F1 in my budget forward line. His teammate, though, who I did have that I'm still 50-50 on, is Tom Powell at the Kangaroos. He's 300K. His first pracky game, unofficial practice match, he killed it. He had those CBAs. He looked like he was hungry. That midfield spot was his. And then the official preseason game, again, the midfield role's there, but he just didn't fire. And I'm looking at it, he's just a forward-only status, but we know he's a midfielder and he's been pushed into that midfield and that role's there for the taking. So the role's there. At 300K, can you go with the, oh, yeah, if he scores like 90, 100 one week and then a 60 the next, could you bear it at 300K?
No, absolutely not. I think there's not enough CBAs there to get excited at all. Worth noting as well, obviously, Jai Simpkin went down and obviously huge thoughts to him. Jimmy Webster is a fucking dog.
Yep.
But he's another one of that sort of midfield group. Even though he didn't have any CBAs in that game, he'll be part of that group along with Davis Uniacke and a few guys that'll float through there, including Sheasel. Will Phillips will be involved. Wardlaw, they really like. And obviously, yes, I said Davis Uniacke. So it's a no from me, not at that price. Lazaro is another one that whether he gets a game, we'll get CBAs too. So, Well, Lazaro is cheap enough, and we'll talk about Lazaro, but it's a no from me, from Powell. And
yep.
You were big on him last week. I was a bit curious about those comments personally.
Man, he destroyed in the pracky, and I just wanted to see what he'd do with the midfield minutes in the second one. But then again, LDU went shit too, so I don't know. But I'm going to start the Fish myself. James Jordan, the next one, Pato, at 275K. I feel like, what's his ownership right now? Holy shit, let's have a look. James Jordan's
surely at very 50, high.
50% ownership.
50%. So what's crazy to me, Dano, and I think, like going back on my comments before about the whole outside role, James Jordan is an outside player. Jordan only had 6 CBAs, Dano, for 115, and he had 31 touches. You also have to consider that Errol Goulden is on the other wing. So Jordan's on one wing, Goulden's on the other wing. Goulden is the main man that they find on the outside to deliver it inside 50 because he is such a weapon on that left foot. I'm not saying don't pick him. Like, James Jordan's in my team. He will be in my team. Don't expect 115 every week. I don't think he'll be a keeper, but he'll be a great cash cow, and you ride him out.
Yeah, with James Jordan, I find it interesting because you said that he's an outside player. He's actually, his natural position's on the inside. VFL level, he dominated on the inside, but then when he went to AFL level at Melbourne, he got pushed to a wing, so he had to learn how to play it. And then in the preseason, in the trade period, I should say, Sydney targeted Jordan originally to be an inside midfielder. But then not long after they got him, they actually realized that they could get Taylor Adams too and got Taylor Adams. So hence James Jordan be pushed back on the outside as well. I feel like when, and it's inevitable, like you got what? Luke Parker's gone down, you got Taylor Adams out, if there's another injury in that midfield at any stage to an inside mid, James Jordan goes in there. He can play both inside and outside. So I love this pick. And I feel like if you're in the 50% that don't have him, it could be a make or break kind of play, especially because the forward line's not offering too much. Yeah,
you also have to remember that Callum Mills is on that list and he'll come back at some stage this year.
So you're not picking James Jordan as a keeper, though. He's 275K. You're using him as a stepping stone. If he ends up a keeper, bonus.
Yeah, 100%. I'm considering him a sort of work your way up. Callum Mills is listed as 12 weeks out. You've got Luke Parker at 4 weeks as well.
Yeah.
And Taylor Adams, 4 weeks. And that was from March 5th. So that's yesterday from time of recording. So, yeah, I mean, he may do well for the first few weeks, and that's great. Also has that early bye. But for me, Jordan won't be a keeper, and I'm not considering him a keeper. I'm not considering him a primo when talking about starting amount of primos. I think you need to start him, though.
Yeah. Last one we got on the breakout contender list is James Harms. That sounds dirty. Dirty, dirty to say, Paddo. I'm going to quickly look at what his ownership is. How old is fucking Harms, by the way?
30-odd, isn't he?
I think so. We can't really... But in the end, you can have a 30-year-old breakout... you can have a 28-year-old breakout contender. Who was that 1 year for Hawthorn?
James Posiadley?
No, he was a rookie.
He was a 32-year-old breakout.
Nah, who was it? Fucking midfielder from Hawthorn. Jordan Lewis. That year where Jordan Lewis just went bananas.
Yeah.
I think he was like 28 or something. And he never repeated that season again. Yeah, James Harms. It's just mainly because I've been seeing teams again with him. He's down to 12% now, and that was higher at one stage. So obviously people haven't been super impressed with him in preseason. I think he might have scored 70-odd, which, to be honest, you're better off just picking a rookie for a 70-odd. But as I said before, Bevo likes to play the new guys, and he likes to play the new guys for long extended periods. So James Harms is going to get games. How good he plays is up to him. He's not obviously being used as a tagger.
And he's part of the midfield rotation. So
yeah,
another one of those inside contested guys that his scoring will go up by the season. Like, he had 74, which isn't horrible at his price. I think there's scope for improvement there. Granted, there are a lot of points being taken by the big three dogs in Libba, Bont, and English, but I think there'll be enough of that Supercoach pie for Harms when the real stuff starts.
Yeah, and he's priced at a 46.2 average as well. He should beat 46.2 easy. Yeah.
Yeah, and he had 9 CBAs as well, so it's not like he's completely out of the midfield rotation.
Yeah, yeah. It feels weird putting him in the breakout contenders, but he's never really been a great, sexy pick. But now, considering our desperation up forward, he might be one. Anyway, we'll move on to the mid-prices, Paddo. Now, the first... we've got Owens on there again. We've got to ignore the first and second one because we've already spoken about the second one. The new first one on this list, Paddo, is one that I actually have never even considered. And I'm assuming that's Joel Jeffrey.
Yeah, and he didn't end up playing on the weekend and he's not on the injury list. So we'll have to put a line through him. There were talks that he would be playing as a sort of key position intercept type. Didn't make the cut. So, yeah, let's put a line through him. The new number one is also missing round one.
So let's just put a line through Tom Lynch. Let's just put a line through him for the moment. Is a round by round proposition. The new number one, which would probably be everyone's number one before Zach Fisher came along, is Nat Fyfe. Fuck yeah, Paddo. Fuck yes. I have been waiting for Fyfe's life to come back. Went a season early on him. I know, but fuck you all. I'm picking him again. And he looks good. And you know what? He's at a stupid sexy price, 280-something thousand, where if he pumps out a few hundreds because he's playing pure midfield, resting up forward at times, if he pings a hammy, who gives a fuck? Because he would have made money. The only problem is if he pings a hammy in round one, then we're fucked. But to be honest, he's in 51% of teams. So 51% of the competition will be in the same boat.
Yeah, I'm on board now. I'm not as enthusiastic about as you about this pick, But I agree, like, if you don't start him and he pops off, you're going to want him, and then you're, like, living on the edge of when's he going to ping a hammy, when's he going to do his shoulder, when's he going to do whatever. So
yeah,
start him, enjoy the ride. Like, he had 72 Supercoach in 75% game time with six clangers, and four of those are free kicks against. So that's what you're going to get. When the real stuff starts again, he'll be one that will rise in that scoring. 19 CBAs, which was same as Sarong, one less than Hayden Young, and more than Brayshaw. So I think that says all you need to know. Brayshaw's on a wing. Don't pick him. Yeah, pick Nat Fyfe.
Yeah. Jack Billings is another one that people have been looking at, Paddo. Scored pretty good in both the Prakki game and the preseason game. Looks to be one of the solutions, I'll say, up forward for Melbourne. He's not going to kick bags of four goals or anything like that, but he's got the class to be able to feed it to those that can. And maybe he might pop off for a three or four goal game himself. And he looks at home. He looks revitalized, new lease on life. And I'm trying to find a way to fit him into my team. I can't right now without sacrificing a primo elsewhere and kind of downgrading him. And I don't want to do that. But I can understand why people are bringing him in.
Yeah, I just want to say I hate this pick, but I'm probably going to start him. He's got too much AFL experience. He's too cheap. Playing on a really good Demons team with a lot of inside balls to feed him the ball in a half forward role, I think you got to start him.
Yeah. Now, we got Jack Hayes on the run sheet, but I still think he's injured, Paddo. And he was one that I was very bullish on seeing in preseason because we know Jack Hayes can pump out 100 plus scores, and he was listed at 228K on the nose. So I'd love to know when that fucker's back.
So listed at 4 to 5 weeks. So that's one to look at down the road. If he potentially gets some ruck time and gets some good scores out of that. But again, Mitch Owens is sort of roaming that forward line now and might impact. But yeah, one to look at after those early buys.
Yeah. And the last one on the mid prices list is actually Cam McKenzie. Now, we keep thinking he's Connor because we keep confusing him with Connor McDonald. But yeah, it's Cam McKenzie, and he's 271,500, Paddo. Currently only in 2% of teams, and he's one that is actually getting some midfield minutes. Again, I'm not even going to call it Bevo's salad. It's fucking Mitchell's mess. There's so many fucking running through that midfield, it's not funny. And yeah, Cam McKenzie's one of them. He plays up forward, kicking snaggeroonies. I don't mind him at 271 as an alternative to Billings myself.
Not for me, because as I said before, you've got Connor Moore, fucking hell. Dylan Moore to come back into that team, which probably impacts Cam McKenzie and Connor McDonald. So probably a no from me. I would prefer Billings of the two.
Yep, fair. Now, I'm just trying to see if you've updated this rookies list, Paddo. Yes, you have. Yes. Good lad.
Yes.
So we're moving on to rookies now. And one that is, I was considering fading, and then he actually went out there and produced a solid 80-odd score, is the number one pick, Harley Reid. He's in 75% of teams now, Paddo. So if you do fade him and you're in the 25% that don't have him, and I feel like the majority rules in this case.
Yeah, I still don't know what I'm going to do here. Adelaide, interestingly, really targeted Harley Reid, and he kind of flourished off it, Dano. Like, it fired him up, and he got a bit of fight, and that's what West Coast need. And he played midfield. He played a bit of halfback. We'll see. Like, they've said that they will rest him, but that is okay because he'd be a sort of a longer burn as a number one draft pick. With their injury situation, though, they might not be able to rest him too much. But, he's not currently in my team, but I still have some tinkering to do. So I don't know what I'm going to do there. I feel like there's better value as the cheaper guys, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to note that he's from Tongala, out my way. Tony's probably an hour out from me. He does have that Tony toughness. So that was the country bumpkin coming out of him there, Paddo, I reckon. A little bit of country footy swagger.
What's Aaron Cadman's excuse from last year?
He was too skinny. But we'll talk about Cadman later.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We may as well skip this next bloke because the next two.
Yeah. I'm going to mention Finn McRae. I am not a fan of pick. You're not a fan of the pick, Paddo?
I get a feeling he may be the sub, which will obviously ruin him. But we got burnt by a couple of sub rookies last year. Dylan Williams is one of them, lamed as the sub, but then coming on early. And
Will Phillips. Early.
You missed them because they were the subs. So
yeah,
keep an eye on those teams, obviously. We get a look at him as well anyway, so we'll see if he makes the 22 or whether he's in the 23 as the sub.
Agreed. We got Sonzi on here, Paddo. He's suspended, but he's fucking one that I really want to get in and want to see. Obviously, we get to see his first two games. So he'd actually be a good downgrade target. Is he suspended for the first two or three?
I feel like it's even longer than that because he had a really bad, like, off the ball, like, kind of dog hit. But it's weird because he's not coming up on the Richmond injury list. So I have a feeling it was like a 4 or 5 weeker.
I'll quickly do it now, live podcasting.
Yeah, but I mean, one to look at down the track and keep in mind because Sonzi drafted as a midfielder, more of an outside midfielder, but was a gun at Eastern Rangers and is a real gun. So if he gets that midfield opportunity, and it might depend on how Richmond start, if they start 0-5, they may start looking to get these younger guys some midfield minutes and maybe moving on a Dion Prestia or those sort of types. So, I mean, Prestia will probably ping another hammy by then anyway. So,
yeah, I've got it here. So it was an initial 4-match suspension, but it was reduced to 3 based on his early guilty plea.
All right, so he'll be back by round 3 because the O round will be his first one.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. And I like
him. Richmond also have a bye early as well.
Yeah, okay. Yep, yep.
In round 6, so want to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I like Sonzi. But the one that we really love, you so much so that he's just sex on legs, Paddo.
Yeah, there's a ton of sex on legs there.
Oh, Alex Sexton or Alex Sexton, because that halfback role is his, and, man, he has made it his bitch. I think it's – I don't know why he's only in 49% of teams. He should be higher than Harley Reid.
It's crazy that this guy spent 10 years – he's 30 years old, played 166 games, don't know. He spent 10 years as a fucking forward pocket, and Dimmer comes in and turns him into a halfback, and – he does this in his first game at halfback. 130-odd K, get him in. Don't think twice about it. They do have a halfback to come in who I've gone blank on the name, but don't worry about that. Sexton's locked in.
Yeah. We've got Chris Burgess here, Paddo. So he's had a C change to the Crom, listed at 129-ish K. Bit of experience for the Crom there, but does he play?
Yes, because they've had an injury.
Oh, yeah, to Philthorpe. Yep.
There. So Philthorpe has gone down. We'll miss the first few weeks.
Not few. They've reported about 3.5 months.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. And I believe they said it's out of him and was it Himmelberg as the ones that could come in. But they like Burgess and could play as that sort of backup quasi ruck as well. And Burgess actually had decent scoring at sample level, not sample level, at VFL level.
Yeah.
In that role. We'll see what happens for round one. Have a look at teams, but could be one of those ones that people don't start because there's no preseason data, but then could score 70 to 80 until Philthorpe comes back and people will be kicking themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel bad because trying to pronounce this next
it's
guy's
easy.
Name.
It's easy.
What, his first
ex-Richmond
name?
Ex-Richmond player. Biggie Nguyen. Okay.
Biggie Nguyen. There you go. So Biggie Nguyen looks all right in North Melbourne colours. Don't mind it. He's in 1% of teams at the moment because obviously people were paying attention to preseason. He did look pretty good, Paddo. I can't remember what his score was.
He scored 87, Dano.
There you go. That's why he looked good.
In an intercept role. The word was that it was between him and Toby Pink as to who will lock down that role. They do have the ex-Giants player to come back into that back line. I've gone blank his name.
Aiden Corr.
Yeah, Aiden Corr. So he'll come back in, which is why one of those guys will probably get squeezed out. But I feel like Biggie Newen was too good in that game for them to squeeze him out. And I think it'll be Toby Pink that might miss out. And Callan Dawson will play as that lockdown guy replacing the Mackay twin that went to Essendon. So, yeah, if named, I like Biggie Newen. And I feel like that'll be a bit of a POD rookie as well, Dano, because he's a virtual nobody. But Richmond fans will know that he spent 3 years developing at Richmond, all for him to go play at North Melbourne and probably do well this year. But anyway.
Yeah, both him and Burgess are 1%. So, yeah, POD rookies right there, both of them. Moving on to Sam Darcy. So
no, he didn't play, so move on.
Yeah, no, put a line through him. This guy, Sean Manor, so he's in a ridiculous amount of teams still, Paddo. 42%. Now, his points per minute is fucking unreal. The only problem is Chris Scott just doesn't seem to want to play him for very long. And it's
Sean Manor, by the way, but yeah.
Oh, sorry, Sean Manor. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, tough one. Hopefully he did enough in his 27% game time to suggest that he needs to come in. They drafted him as a ready-made guy from the VFL, so
he's got like 40-odd. 40-odd in 27%. Fuck.
They're not going to give him that round one opportunity. I'm not sure what they're doing. So hopefully he's named, and I think he's starting just because he's a mature body. He's 26 or something.
Yeah, he's not in my team at the moment just because of I think he's just going to be the sub or an emergency. But I'm hoping he just gets named on the field but Chris Scott doesn't do that thing where they can actually name them on the field and then an hour before the game quickly flick them to the sub vest because they can still do that. And I think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, go to Zane Dersma next, Paddo. So the one that I was like, oh, I don't like the role, for high draft pick. 194K, roughly. High draft pick, don't like the role, but then he comes out and I think he scored in the 80s and he actually looked ridiculously good. Currently in 32% of teams. I'm fading him, but I can understand why people will bring him in. But I think there's better value elsewhere.
Yeah, 81 super coach points, 14 touches, 2 goals in a half forward role. Not horrible, but I think you need to consider that he plays for North Melbourne. Fisher and Sheasel will get a bunch of Supercoach points for them, as will probably Cherry in a ruck role, and we'll talk about him when we discuss the ruckman. But they're not going to win too many games this year, Dano, and there's only so many points for those losing teams available. Obviously, LDU will get a chunk of those points as well. So it's a no from me. I wouldn't discourage people. I'm discouraging, but I wouldn't hate someone for starting him. This thing is too expensive.
Yeah. I actually prefer, and we've already discussed him in the midfielders, but Caleb Windsor at 180,300. Mid-forward rookie, looked great in a really strong Melbourne team. So I prefer him over Dersma, and he's currently in my side. Is Windsor in your side up forward?
Yes.
Yeah. So we both prefer him. Because I wanted to do a little segue into the other Melbourne teammate, which is Kynan Brown. He was unreal, Paddo, in that first Pracky game. And pass the eye test for me. I don't know what the hell he scored, but he was bloody good.
So against the Blues, he had 6 Supercoach points from 3 kicks and 1 mark and kicked a behind.
That's shit.
So I don't know. I don't know if you looked at a different game.
No, the practice game, not the preseason game.
Yeah.
Yeah, the practice but judge game, he, lit
that, he had 12.
Yeah.
He had 12% game time, so I can't imagine he's in that 22 group.
Yeah, that's shit house. but I really love this Pracky game. It was fucking unreal. Cooper Simpson of Fremantle, 117K, touted to be playing there. I'm fading. Are you fading? We've only got 10 minutes left, Paddo. We got
33 sub coach. No.
Yep. Cool. Darcy Wilson is one that every team should have, in my opinion. He was, and this is why I said wing roles are actually okay to talk about. He was on that wing. He fucking tore it up. I'm okay with a 131K mid forward playing on the wing. You don't expect 100 scores every week, but his scoring will fluctuate, but he's just there to make cash, man. And 58% of teams realize that and bank Darcy Wilson in to have a good year.
Yeah, temper your expectations. Had 106 Supercoach points, had six free kicks for Dano, and is an outside player at 10 marks, like classic preseason bulk up. I think he's a perfect F7. Yeah, hopefully he scores enough to make really good 250, 300K and happy days.
Yep. Now, another one we got, Charlie Lazaro from North Melbourne, 181K. He looks like his role is sound. Midfield rolling in there, 15% owned. He's played six games last year for an average of 36. I don't know how many of them were sub-affected, but he passes the eye test for me, and I'm willing to spend the 181K on him.
Yeah, I'm not as sold, Dano. 21 years old, about to turn 22, played 30 games, so he kind of needs to do something. Round 24, he played a full game for 87 Supercoach, which is obviously really good. Other than that, he had two games as a sub where he had two touches and one touch. In full games, he had a game of five and four disposals, obviously pretty fucking shit. So it's all about the role for me. I'm probably fading him personally, but that could change.
Yep, fair enough. Now, two that I told you to put on the run sheet very late, Paddo, are both Giants boys. Now, I think they're both going to potentially play round opening round. We'll find out from the teams when they come out. Aaron Cadman and Harvey Thomas. Now, Harvey Thomas, I think, is around 117K, roughly. And then Cadman is 127, 128K. So Cadman beefed up a bit in the preseason. Looks the goods up forward for me. And at 127K, he's actually cheaper now than what he was in his draft year. He's had the full season. He's spent time in the VFL. He's hit the gym. I think he kicked four goals in one of the games that he played in preseason. So he's looking to make a claim for one of those forward line roles in the Giants team. And I back him to do it, 100% back him to do it. And then you got Harvey Thomas, little pocket rocket that kind of reminds me of a smaller Perryman, where he's clean, but he's got kind of the Brent Daniels vibe about him where he just gives 110% at everything. Now, whether he gets gassed or not, I don't know. I'm pretty sure he went ridiculously good in the 2K time trial as well, Paddo. So he should be AFL fit. He should be match fit. So these two, especially Thomas, I want to keep a close eye on Thomas, but Cadman is in my team at the moment, but Thomas is one that I'm also keeping a very close eye on. What are your thoughts?
Look, Cadman, interestingly, it looks like he's going to play a bit of ruck as well, but I'm not sure it translates quite as well as what it would for a Mitch Owens type, completely obviously different players. What concerns me is they've had a 7-goal win against the Suns on the weekend and Cadman played 86% game time and he had 43 and only kicked one goal. So that is slightly concerning. Obviously, you've got Toby Green up in that forward line. Callum Brown as well has sort of established himself last year. And then you've got the small forwards to get their sort of goal pie, so to speak, if you like. So I may end up starting him only because those first 2 weeks are fucking tantalizing. Harvey Thomas, I don't love picking a small forward rookie. Everyone has been burnt way too many times over those small forwards, and it's enough for me not to be interested, even with that early fixture.
Midfielder turned small forward, by the way.
Yeah, so was Tanner Bruin, and how did he go as a rookie?
Yeah, so he's a midfielder turned small forward, but he looked fucking... He did some Toby Green-like shit. That's what I was impressed with. He could have bombed the ball forward. He was about to get tackled, lowered his eyes, and then out of the corner of the eyes saw someone free and did one of those like cross kicks that Toby likes to do at the last second and like laced someone out. Yeah, he impressed me just visually, and it won't surprise me if he does play. That's all I'm saying. And he's a cheapie. So, so that's it for the forwards, Paddo. There's a lot to go through. And it's going to be interesting to see how our teams pan out after opening round, because there's a few players that we're both keeping an eye on. And obviously other people are keeping an eye on just to see what their roles are like. And opening round is a blessing in disguise, personally, because you can get that free hit at some guys, but it could also be a curse as well.
Yeah, we'll address that next week, Dano, when we discuss O-Week. I feel like it's good to see roles and stuff, but just careful of the flash in the pan sort of performances from players. But yeah, we'll go in more in depth in that next week.
Yep. Pato, what's your X, formerly known as Twitter handle?
That's at PATTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. Now, I just want to quickly talk about something. So, AFL Podmasters are doing like this. What would you call it? It's like a league where it's like a buy-in league. And it's a Lifeline fundraiser. Yeah, for Lifeline. I'm going to tweet. Oh, you can't. Can you even call it tweet? I don't know. I'm going to send out the link. So there is a link for us as the Supercoach co-captains if you want to buy into that league. I think it's a $100 buy-in, though. $50 goes to Lifeline, $50 goes into the prize pool, and winner takes the prize pool at the end. So it is run by them. It seems like a really cool idea. I didn't realize how cool of an idea it was, and I actually went and looked a lot into what Lifeline do, and there's some good shit that they do. So, yeah, I'll send that out on X, formerly known as Twitter, this week. Yeah, so from us at the Supercoach co-captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.
Go the Giants.